I actually did homework for this show. So
wow.
Let's go.
All right, let's go.
Shit, I feel
do that.
I barely got here on time.
I would say. I'm sober. Hey. That's something.
Quick, drink.
I can't. I have to work out after.
Oh.
What'd you do homework on, Brita?
The history of women in sports.
Let's start with that.
Oh.
Are we recording now?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. Great.
Because that's a it keeps coming up over and over again with the men claiming to be women so they can run in races and win things they wouldn't win as men.
Well, I don't. Here's my thing with all the transgender men in women's sports. Are they called? Wait, are they transgender women? Is that the correct term? Because I'm confused at this point.
I have no idea.
It's if it's a man who thinks he's a woman, he's a trans woman.
Okay. All right.
The trans modifies what they identify as.
Right. Thank you, Jay. You're very hip.
So we try. We try to stay on top of these things.
Trans women in women's sports. I don't necessarily think that winning at the sport is their main motivation. I mean, it could be, because who knows? Like, you know, people's motivations are strange. And if like running and track or wrestling or whatever is like your huge goal in life, your the thing that occupies most of your brain space, like maybe that could be your motivation to want to be a trans woman in women's sports so that you could win.
Well, if you're in a sport and not trying to win, there's something wrong with you.
Well, correct.
Point.
Correct. But, I mean, for a young man to proclaim himself a woman is kind of even in this day and age, I would think is like a major leap, you know?
Die green.
Like, I'm sorry. He's
it's color. It's great.
He's been problematic all day.
Color is not.
And we're grateful for your problematic self, buddy. But, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It does seem like a, you know, I part of me wants to say it sounds like a stupid reason to do that.
Well, yes, but
there are people out there.
Yeah. Right, but you always see in like in schools there's still like anti-bullying and you know, gay kids routinely get bullied by straight kids, and you know, kids will bully each other for whatever reason they can find. But you know, it's still a thing. It's not just like completely acceptable to be trans or gay or whatever. So for a young man to come out and say I identify as a female is probably still a big thing, I would imagine. And I would think that it's a huge, even to be the best at a certain sport, like it's still a huge thing to do, you know. I could be totally wrong because I'm old now.
Yeah.
You know, it could be just totally acceptable to be a trans whatever, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine in some circles it probably is.
A lot depends on the school and the area and, you know, just the phase of the moon. It's in some places it's fashionable.
Tig is not being tortured, I assure you.
He is not.
No Tigs were harmed in the recording of this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So it's... The problem. So you did your homework on women only sports, right? Or women in sports? Or what did you discover?
Well, I wanted to address that that one article I shared. God, now I can't remember what it was, but about how trans women in women's sports is basically destroying all of the progress that women have made in sports.
Right. Title IX and...
Yeah, yeah. Title IX, yeah.
Gaining equality. And
gaining equality and being actually just being allowed to do sports. I'm not talking equality. I'm not talking about, like, you know, equal sports. I'm just saying, like, women were not allowed to do certain sports. Hang on one second. Jesus Christ. Why don't you guys talk about the transgender thing? Hold on one second. I'm really sorry, but hold on.
No. Don't apologize. It's all good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I think people love hearing the tag thing when they.
it's like a check in. Yeah. It's like, okay, you're still good. But yeah, it's kind of a monkey wrench. It's like competing victim groups.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. That's what I was gonna bring up because I had an epiphany, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm slow, and maybe everybody else already knows this.
You and Bob Craig.
But, you know.
Okay. Sorry.
I was just going to say that because Jay brought up the conflicting interest groups, and it's really, you know, we look at it and we go, why would you let them do that? Why would you let, you know, why would you let them do that? And you know, the same way we asked, well, why does the gay magazine call Trump a racist for wanting to get rid of, you know, homosexual oppression worldwide? And why do liberal Jews vote for Muslims that want to kill them? And you know, the reason is cognitive dissonance and intersectionality.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire worldview is based on interest groups and intersectionality and who is the biggest victim in the scale of victimization. And they can't separate themselves from that, even in their own self-interest. They can't separate them. Feminists can't say to trans women, I'm sorry, you cannot compete in this sport, even though you think you're a woman, you're in vitro dose of testosterone is like, you know, doping to gain an advantage. It is not fair to the women who are competing at this event. They can't say that because their entire existence is based on victimization and intersectionality. It would be like Jay waking up one morning and going, holy shit, these guns are bad. We need to get rid of them all of them. It's never going to happen. And they will ride that into the ground. They'll, you know, they cannot go against their core belief even to save themselves.
Well, get back to the other thing. I also don't have a truck anymore, so... Getting rid of the guns would be problematic for many reasons.
You could rent a U-Haul.
God damn it, I got to rent a U-Haul.
You know, I wanted to go back to the women's sports history because there was a lot of things that I found that surprised me. Because I've never even really thought about feminism. Like, this idea that I'm not allowed to do things or, you know, somebody will tell me that, you know, I'm not allowed or it goes against who I am and it goes against how I was brought up. I mean, my grandmother on my mom's side came over in the 1920s from Ireland. I think she was 17 years old when she got here. And then by the 1950s, she was a business owner. And she owned her own restaurant, and she raised a family, and she had a husband, she owned a home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And nobody told, I mean, I don't know if she was told that she couldn't, but she was probably like, well, fuck you, I'm going to do it anyway. And so that's who I am. So this idea that feminists, like, are fighting against some sort of system that's keeping them down, it has always sounded kind of like an excuse to me. But... So for tonight's research, I looked up women's sports history, And it really just kind of only went back to like the 1900s, turn of the century type of thing. And one of the things, you know, around the turn of the century was for women was bicycling. And, you know, the bicycle was invented. And at the time, women were expected to be wives and mothers and stay home and not really leave the house unless chaperoned. And they really had nothing to do outside the home. And lo and behold, bicycle. And for the longest time, bicycles were a men's only thing, like everything else, you know, outside the home. Was a men's only thing, but women wanted to ride bicycles, and they were so like, you know, doctors would tell women, oh, it's going to harm your fertility and it's going to jostle your organs and you're not going to be feminine and wow. And you're going to be, you know, one of the things was about sexuality, where they didn't want women riding a bicycle around town because you couldn't ride a bicycle side saddle, mind you, right? So you had to straddle the bicycle.
Oh, how obscene.
So they thought, oh no, the women are going to be straddling a thing and having orgasms all over the place.
And they may have.
No.
Some.
Trust me. Show me that bicycle because it, no.
Just say it.
No. But so that was kind of like the advent of women getting out there and doing something kind of athletic for themselves. And Susan B. Anthony, you know, big suffragette, women's right activist, one of her famous quotes was, "The bicycle has done more for the emancipation of women than anything else in the world." And it was because women could get out there and be by themselves and go.
Huh.
They had this liberty to, like, go outside the home by themselves. Oh, my gosh.
They weren't allowed to drive, were they?
There was no driving at that time, I don't think.
Yeah, they didn't really have cars.
Was it the 1920s, wasn't it, Susan B. Anthony, or am I...
Well, yes, but I'm sure she was talking about the advent of bicycling, you know, and I'm sure that when cars were invented, women were like, get me a car. I want to go. But here's things that, you know, I was astonished by, like, the modern Olympics were kind of reintroduced in 1896, and obviously, they were men's only thing. And only in 1920 did they start having a women's Olympics.
Wow.
Which kind of like involved like track and field type things, but they were women's Olympics only.
Was it a separate event? Kind of like the Paralympics now? So it was like they had they had the real Olympics and then they had the women Olympics.
Yes. Women were allowed in 1920, but it wasn't until 1922 that they had the Women's World Games. And it was kind of like a track and field type thing. And it was a completely separate event from the Olympics.
Interesting.
Hmm.
And so, you know, they had like, you know, the flappers were kind of like athletic and sporty, you know. They wanted to all be like Zelda Fitzgerald, you know, look at me playing tennis in my whites, you know, whatever. And then World War II happened. And the men went off to war, and all of a sudden women were expected to be, you know, filling all these roles that they never had before. And this is, you ever see the movie A League of Their Own?
Oh, yeah.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. The All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And it kind of filled in the blank of when the men went off to war and there weren't that many baseball players. They had this... You know, they looked like women. They played like men. That was kind of the thing. And that was kind of the thing during the entire World War II, where they did men's jobs. Women, Rosie the Riveter, and that sort of thing. And then the 50s happened, which, oh, my Lord. I read an article about women's sports in high school in the 1950s. You know, boys' sports in high school in the 1950s, you could do, like, you know, everything. Basketball, track, blah, blah, blah. In the 1950s, you could either do swimming like what's her face, Esther Williams, or you could go to the bowling alley and meet boys. That was like the sports.
Wow.
You played yeah. this.
They didn't even have like what, badminton and field hockey and stuff like that?
Not really. Not in high school. It was like not a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, but like all during this time, like women were expected to be strong and capable, but in ways that were like household chores.
Well, yeah.
Or farming or that sort of thing. You know, women were strong, but in ways that were kind of like house farming, yeah, motherly doing
the
laundry, tasks.
Making yeah. the food, sure. you know, cleaning the sure. house.
And then, but the thing that shocked me the most, and I have to sit and tell this story, and everybody's welcome to look it up, because I think the woman's still alive. Catherine Switzer. Have you ever heard this story about Catherine Switzer basically crashing the Boston Marathon?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And women were not, and it was never like expressly said in the rules of the Boston Marathon that no women were allowed, but it was kind of an understood thing. And no one believed at the time, in the 1960s, no one believed at that time that a woman could run a marathon.
Yeah.
Like, they believed it was not physically possible for a woman to run a marathon.
Not win it, just complete it.
Yes. No way. There's no way a woman could do that. No stamina, no endurance. That was the belief about women's bodies, that we were too weak, we were incapable, we couldn't withstand pain, we didn't have endurance, you know, all this stuff. So, you know, just sit down, little lady, and do your knitting or your embroidery, because, you know.
Wow.
So Catherine Switzer, in 1967, decides, I'm going to run the Boston Marathon, and I'm going to run it with a tag. There had been women previous to her that had run the marathon, but not officially with, like, you know, the number tag on their sweatshirt or whatever. But Catherine Switzer did in 1967, and after...
Didn't she have to, like, dress up like a man or something like that to even get the
tag? She absolutely did not. She just went as herself. She actually even put on lipstick for the race.
Oh, wow.
She put on lipstick to run the race, and... that's a girl after my own heart. But 1 mile into the marathon, a race official attacked her and tried to rip off her number tag.
Wow.
And this is 1967. I mean, this is not so long ago. I mean, I think of it and I'm like, that's crazy to me. And one of the quotes from Kath, I watched an interview with her, and one of the quotes was that she wanted to show that women could do something very difficult and still be women and still be feminine.
Huh.
And so that was 1967. She finished the race with a very acceptable time. And it wasn't until 1972 that women were officially allowed to run in the Boston Marathon. So 5 years after that. It's shocking to me that it's so recent.
Hello, welcome everybody.
What the hell?
Hello.
My name is Steve Boggs.
Damn autoplay and videos, I swear to God.
What? What are you watching?
Not me.
No, it was me.
Alan.
I clicked on
the anyway, link and the so that, started. And I was shocked. And it wasn't until 1984, 10 years after I was born, that the Olympics allowed a women's marathon.
Huh.
And this is, I mean, 1984. So 30 whatever years ago, 35 years ago, women yeah. were finally allowed to run a marathon in the Olympics. And suddenly, trans women, whatever, men who think they're women come into women's sports and tell us that we need to try harder to meet that. You know, it's like, I don't, it's just like nonsense. It's crazy to me. The whole thing is crazy.
Yes.
Anyway, rant.
Yeah.
Except for one thing. I'm so fired up about this. I'm so sorry. No, and go ahead.
We're enjoying it.
There's an article, and it's on the Daily Wire. A British rapper trolls leftists by destroying women's deadlift record as a woman. I don't know if you've seen this article.
Yeah, I saw that.
British rapper Zuby conducted an experiment on Twitter challenging the new idea that there are no inherent gender differences by doing a live weightlifting demonstration where he, identifying as a woman, broke the British women's deadlift record. Like, without even trying.
Yeah.
Well, because upper body strength.
Yeah. Yes.
And upper and lower and everything else. I mean, I think it was in that same article, Breeder, where they talked about how, what's her name? The fastest woman alive.
Flojo.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. her record, her world record is routinely beaten by high school boys.
Sure. Oh,
the case of the women's world soccer champs being beaten by a high school JV team.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it's so, I mean, so yes, there is, you know, now populations vary. I mean, there are a lot of men that can't beat a lot of women at a lot of sports. Right?
Sure.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sure there's a lot of women that could beat me in a foot race. But, you know, I'll never be an NFL player, you know. I mean, so, you know, we have this problem where, you know, we classify based on, you know, things that maybe don't matter so much. So we have, you know, we have women's sports and, you know, so specifically so women can compete, because, you know, in a sporting event where you have the top male competitors and the top female competitors, I mean, except for maybe like gymnastics or something that's like heavily female dominated.
Well, men's gymnastics and women's gymnastics are completely different.
But that's what I mean. I mean,
because of upper body strength.
Right, right. But yeah. But that's my point. Except for a few things that women excel at, that men would beat them in almost everything. So, you know, in order to have a fair competition, I mean, it's the same reason we don't allow doping in sports. If we allowed athletes to dope themselves up and, you know, take steroids and do all that stuff, it is considered considered unfair. And there's, to my way of thinking, there's no difference between a guy trying to take steroids and bulk up and cheat and a guy who decides he wants to be a woman and to compete. He has an unfair, it's like he spent half his life taking steroids because that's what he was doing.
Physiologically, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Testosterone. You know, if you took a female in the womb and flooded her with testosterone, she'd be a guy. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not fair. It's not fair the same way steroid use is not fair. But the problem is that the people in charge of these programs are so bought into the whole, you know, interest group intersectionality they can't tell the trans mafia, shut the fuck up. And if you want to sport, go start a trans league and compete there.
Why don't they do that?
Because they're women, goddammit. And they should be allowed to compete as women. That's the problem. They're gonna, it's basically, you know, it's like they used to say, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Their intersectionality has become a suicide pact. Because these, you know, as if they're, if this trend continues and more trans women compete in women's events, they're going to self-destruct, because who's going to compete? You're going to have women's, you know, carrying it to the extreme. You're going to have, you know, women's sporting events that are going to be, you know, everybody competing is going to be a trans woman.
Right.
Because those are the only ones that can compete.
How do you stop that? Do you say you have to be an identified trans woman? Like, you have to register? I don't think that's going to fly.
No. But they can't, that's my point, Jay. They can't,
exactly.
They can't do that because it destroys their worldview. What they need to do is say in all these, in all these women's sporting events, they need to say, if you're not a biological woman, you can't compete because you have an unfair advantage because of all the steroids you've been taking throughout your life. I mean, but they can't do that.
Well, I think a lot of women are, I mean, Martina Navratilova has stepped up and said, she came out originally and she was like, no, trans women are not the same as regular women in sports. And she got, of course, destroyed for that. Right.
And then apologized.
And she apologized, but she did say, okay, fine. I will go and I will look at the facts and I'll look at the science. And she came back and she said the exact same thing. And she's sticking to her guns. And you know, this is Martina Navratilova, who was like, you know,
right,
the lesbian tennis, you know, star.
Yep.
Who was trained by a trans woman. Renee Richards, I think her name was. Renee Richards was one of the very first trans women athletes in tennis. And you can look her up. But I don't know how to even talk about it anymore because it's just like, whatever.
What are their pronouns?
I don't know. See, that's the thing, but that was the thing, that she excelled at tennis against women because she was a man.
Right. I think if they really want to do something about this, I think that's the wedge. It's, you know, all they need to do is say, look, yes, you're a woman, but you're a woman who's been taking steroids all your life, so you can't compete.
Wait.
I don't know.
I see an upside here.
What?
We'll have separate leagues. They don't have to be for trans. They can be for anyone who takes steroids.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
All drug Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd watch that.
Like, oh, it'd be like the outlaw class, right? It'd be like bring your body mods, right? Bring that'd whatever,
like, yes,
whatever you want, whatever you think is going to give you an advantage, you know, dope up, take, you know, super amphetamines,
yeah,
you know, alter your body parts, have surgeries, do whatever you want, you know.
There you go. There's no testing. In fact, it's encouraged. If you're not taking steroids, we'll give you some on the way in.
Yeah.
That's it. The rules are all off.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Go nuts.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, little chocolate donuts. Thank you, Brita.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's the only way you can do this without excluding someone,
mm-hmm,
you know, or requiring some sort of testing.
Yeah.
Are you a genetic male or
any sex, any identity, any enhancement, anything. Go wild.
You know, it's, I don't know. Something needs to be done though, because you're coming to a point where girls who have worked really, really hard throughout their school career, doing, you know, their best athletically, and they're missing out on potential college scholarships.
Sure.
And these are actual girls, born girls, who have busted their asses to become the best. It's not easy for, I don't know if you've ever had a kid who's done sports. It's not an easy thing to excel because there's so much other stuff going on. That for a kid to like get to that level and be the best, it takes a lot of commitment, not just from the kid, but from the family and from the community and teachers and coaches. And it takes a lot of work.
Yes.
And for the girl to come in fourth instead of third or second, and because some boy called himself a girl, I mean, what did all those women fight for? All those women, you know, the Catherine Switzer, why did she fight to run the Boston Marathon as a woman?
Right.
If this is going to be the result, you know, if this is where you can't win, and that's where this is, where it's coming to, where girls can't win anymore because a boy is in their way. And it's just like the same old story. Like, women are like, yeah, well.
Yeah, the whole reason that the sports are, and that's the whole thing. The whole reason they're separated into boys and girls, men and women. It's not that the girls aren't allowed to play with the boys. It's that the girls will lose every time. Yeah.
And to deny that is I think it's just reprehensible.
You're arguing against biology.
Yes. And this is from the party of science, right?
Right. Yeah, that's right. You're anti-science. If you express any sort of skepticism about global warming, you're anti-science and you're essentially a flat earther and whatnot. When it comes to gender issues, oh, those are totally social constructs. There's certainly no physiological differences between males and females like there are in every other fucking species on the planet.
Yes.
I'm sorry. There's a reason you can people who know these things can tell you if it's a girl chickadee or a boy chickadee.
Yeah, the whole there's no differences in between the sexes except for social constructs is just ridiculous.
Except that, yes, there are in literally every species. Oh, okay, not literally. I'm sure this is the point in the podcast where people are like, well, actually, this is me.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a bug or an amoeba or something that you can't tell the difference.
Except, you know what? They can.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right. That's right. They can.
They can tell the difference.
If it matters, they sure can.
The highest single-celled organism in this room. Snap, snap. I'm sorry. Lord help me. I'm just not that bright. But yeah, it's this whole, when you want to find oppression, you will find it anywhere.
Sure.
Well, the fact that they have separate divisions, a men's division and a women's division. Well, that's because women are being discriminated against. Except that, no. Because if we said everyone can compete, the women lose. And then it becomes they don't bother playing, because why would you play a game that you can never win?
That's why I don't
play. You know, when I was a... play...
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, when I was in middle school, I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, there was an eighth grade girl who played football. Boys football. She was on the football team.
What did she do?
I don't remember what position. Well, she wore a uniform and she played football with the boys.
And some
and she was like on the team doing the football thing. And but she was like an exceptionally big burly girl, you know. She was a culchie, as we would say in Irish. But she did not play football in high school. Because you know when high school hits, the boys start getting bigger.
Yep.
She didn't play football in high school.
She was probably bigger than a lot of the boys in
middle school. She was a big girl. But yeah, by the time high school came around, no football.
What was that again? A coochie?
Culchie.
Culchie, oh.
And what is that?
Like a big, burly, you know, big woman. Big woman.
A big manly woman?
Not manly, just a big woman.
Well, I mean, what kind of big? Like obese big or just like big bone big?
Big boned, kind of big, strong, farm wife kind of woman.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
big, strong woman. A culchie. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're giving people homework. They're going to be looking up
culchie. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day is coming up, by the way.
What's that?
It is.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
Green beer and cultural appropriation. Woo-hoo!
Oh, Jay.
One of the last holidays where you can get away with making fun of another culture.
I don't think people think they're making fun. But let's just say it's a good thing that Irish people are, good-natured and have a sense of humor.
Well, and they don't...
Because I've seen some pretty offensive shit.
Oh, yeah.
No.
All right,
I think most of that is in America, though. I don't think they do that in Ireland.
No. No. They do not.
I mean, imagine a holiday where... imagine any other... I don't want to say ethnic. Well, maybe it is ethnic. Any other ethnic or cultural holiday where they were like, oh, yes, on, everybody's, whatever on this day. Where they, they go, everybody's Irish on this day. Everybody's Mexican on this day. Everybody's.
I'm not even allowed to eat tacos on Cinco de Mayo, apparently.
We're not allowed to eat tacos, period.
Yeah, no? It's
cultural appropriation. I am only allowed to eat Italian food. Well, Rita, you're only allowed to eat Irish food. Alan's only allowed to eat whatever the hell food he is. What are you? You're like Lithuanian or something?
Alan's
African American.
I can eat, according to my genetic makeup, I can eat everything except Chinese food.
That's true. I guess Persian's still on the table for me.
So I'm good.
I get to eat Irish boiled bacon and cabbage. Great.
You like that stuff.
Bubble and Squeak is English, isn't it?
Yeah, that's Hayden.
That's what Hayden eats. It's just, what a humorless, colorless, horrible, horrible world the left has.
Yeah.
Well, look at every socialist, socialist communist country there is. They're all awful, humorless, gray, places.
Venezuela's a laugh a minute. Come on, they're firing on unarmed protesters.
Yeah,
while Donald Hitler Trump is sending his ambassadors out to decriminalize homosexuality around the globe, Bernie's hero Maduro is murdering his citizens at will.
Yeah. And burning the food shipments that are coming in to try to feed his people.
Because it's far better to stick a finger in the eye of Donald Trump than to, let your people eat.
Because that's a socialist, right? I mean, that's how they are.
Maduro ain't going hungry.
Well, but even if he was, he'd rather go hungry than have somebody else win.
Oh, hell no. He's not going hungry. No. You don't understand. They'll be cooking people before he goes hungry.
Yeah, that's true. He'll take those billions of dollars shipped out of the country and flee to someplace.
Yeah.
You know what I think is one of the best kind of side effects of the echo chamber that these politicians get from Twitter and social media?
What?
Is that Bernie Sanders and AOC think they're on the right path.
Right.
They're getting so much like positive feedback from their fans and their, you know, Bernie bros. They think, yeah, man, people want this.
That's right. I don't want to be led by some old rich white dude with multiple houses. Yay, Bernie.
Yeah. I mean, that was part of the problem, I think, with Hillary, too, in 2016. I think it was they had so much positive kind of social media feedback from all their, you know, fans that they thought, yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, they believed their own bullshit.
We're doing great.
And one of my favorite video clips is that one somebody put together of everybody, of all the pundits and media people and politicians and everybody else saying that Trump will never get elected and just laughing. President Trump.
And I firmly believe that was a side effect of social media.
I believe it too.
Because they're all in this echo chamber thinking, you know, yeah, so many people like me and so many people are into what I say. Hey, and they're liking my likes and retweeting my tweets and yep.
Cooked macaroni and cheese.
Oh God.
Well, I'm also bless
her heart.
I'm also convinced that, you know, when they do these polls, I don't think it is possible in this day and age to create an accurate poll of the population of the United States.
I agree.
On any subject. Because, you know, it's so...
How are you going to do it?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to call somebody.
How would
somebody
you do
on,
it?
Well, I mean, what they do is they call people on the phone.
Right. And then that's your grandma, so...
Right. It's, right. You know, who sits around at home and answers the phone?
I don't answer the phone when it's in my hand.
Yeah,
and ringing.
Exactly. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's possible, you know, and the you know, every, I mean, look at the history of polling. They're all wrong. They're all wrong all the time. So, I mean, the only poll that matters and the only poll that counts is the election. And they're trying to screw that up. Did you see where Colorado has joined the popular vote bullshit?
What?
So there's a bunch of states that have passed rule of laws that says, you know, when states comprising 270 electoral votes all agree that we'll give all our votes to the winner of the popular vote, then we'll all do that.
Right up until a Republican wins.
Yeah. The only problem with that...
It's so apparent.
The only problem with that is there's no such thing as the popular vote.
Right. I explained it to my son this way. Take the World Series. You've got, and because I'm awful, I don't sports.
Yeah. We don't either, so carry on.
Because I'll say Red Sox and Yankees, although I know they would not face each other in the World Series. Stop yelling at your I understand that.
Baseball team A and baseball team B.
They're in the World Series.
Yeah.
In games 1, 2, and 3, the Yankees score 10 runs. The Red Sox score 0.
Right.
Games 4, 5, 6, and 7, the Red Sox score 1 run each game, and the Yankees score 0.
Right.
The Democrats would have you believe the Yankees won the World Series because they scored 30 runs total. The Red Sox only scored 4. How could they possibly have won?
Right.
That's the difference between the popular vote and the Electoral College.
Exactly.
And it's you know, well, Hillary won the popular vote. Well, you know what? Trump wasn't campaigning for the
popular. You can't win something that doesn't exist.
Right.
There is no, you cannot, yeah, like you said in like in the baseball example, you cannot aggregate the vote scores from 50 separate elections and magically create some super election that doesn't actually exist. It's not a thing.
You're not a raw democracy. And thank God, it's literally mob rule. If you want it so that 50.1% make all the decisions, you will be unhappy.
Oh, yeah.
Unhappy about a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the worst thing about a democracy is being in the losing side.
And you know,
then you'll be screaming about, oh, my rights. Well, yeah, but you
being ignored. Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Welcome to democracy.
Yeah.
You know, we have a little bit of time left in the show. And I wanted to talk about the bill that the Senate blocked about medical care for children born alive after abortion.
Yes.
It's kind of a downer thing for the end of the show, but it's really indicative of the culture we live in that this could even happen. Could it happen?
Still trying to figure out how it's not murder.
It happened.
It is murder.
It also happened in the Senate where the Republicans have a majority. However, they don't have a supermajority. So enough Democrats voted against it that they didn't get the 60 votes
right
they needed to pass it. But right. It is you're right, Brita. You got to wonder this, and for people that weren't paying attention, this bill would make it illegal. It would to fail to provide medical care to a child born alive after an attempted abortion. And this does happen. It's rare, thank God. But right. There are, you know, it happens. And the Senate wanted to pass a law that said, hey, if you botch an abortion and the baby winds up living, you can't just like break its neck or smother it or whatever. Once it's born and it's still alive, you got to give it,
yeah, give it medical care because it's a human being.
Right. You need to give it every bit of medical care you would give any other. And see, that's what gets me. So you have a situation, and we're talking third trimester here. Babies are routinely born in the third trimester and live.
Sure.
Routinely.
Yes.
Sure.
It's extremely common. In fact,
yay, medical science.
It is so common that it's almost not even an issue anymore to have a premature baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they routinely lie. And the Democrats in these states where they've made it legal have passed laws where it is legal to kill a baby that would otherwise live outside the womb. They even, and that was what the guy Northam, the guy, the blackface Klan guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
In Virginia was like, oh yeah, we want to, you know, if the baby's born, then we'll decide whether or not it gets to live.
Right.
Depending on what the mother wants. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's like ancient Rome where if you had a disabled baby or a baby you didn't want, you would just expose it on the hillside and just walk away.
Right.
Sparta.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. This is imperfect.
Yeah.
But it is unconscionable to me to be that bought into the and again, I think this is another case where they're dealing with this intersectionality worldview where they can't allow you know, even where it leaves them totally exposed
right.
on a losing yes. campaign issue.
Yes.
They can't go, wait a minute. You know, we need right. this is wrong.
And in this case, the one thing I wanted to say was this was too early. By the time the 2020 elections roll around, this is old news.
Oh no, they'll bring it up.
They'll take it because
these are Senate campaigns, and every one of those senators that voted against this bill, their opponent's going to use it against them when the election comes around.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yep. It might be too soon. It would be too soon for a presidential campaign, but Senate campaigns are a lot different.
Mm.
They're a lot more, well, you know, regional.
It also needs to be a little careful because you wind up, you know, this can veer into the Todd Akin, I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about bullshit that brought us Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Because, see, I lived in Massachusetts when she was running.
Yeah.
And she used his sound bit prominently.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that played into her victory because, you know, we can't let the Republicans win because then there'll be back alley abortions again.
Well, there's irrationality on both sides. Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, every Democrat that wants to kill babies after they've been born, there are Republicans that are, you know, equally insane on, you know, the other side, whatever that side is. I have no idea, but you know, it's right up there with the New York going, yeah, you know, we can, you know, the woman is in labor having her baby and they can decide to have an abortion right then.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting because I think I've seen polls where people don't like abortion. They don't like that it happens. They don't like that it has to exist. That sort of thing. Like, they're uncomfortable with it. They don't, you know, it's still one of those things that people don't talk about. You know, if you have an abortion, you don't talk about it. It's not like, you know, except for extreme feminists.
Right.
You know, those shout your abortion crazy people. It's not a thing that is accepted in the United States, abortion. People are in favor of a woman's right to choose, but they don't like the reality of abortion. And I think part of that is Planned Parenthood and you know, pro-abortion people. They're always like, oh, it's just a clump of cells.
Right.
And I think that one of the ways to combat abortion probably will be education and showing people, no, it is not a clump of cells. At 8 weeks, which is like around the time women are just figuring out they're pregnant, the baby has a human hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human. It's not a clump of cells. You can look at it 8 weeks. It's teeny weeny, but it looks like a human being or a potential human being. It's got little fingers.
It's not going to grow into a dolphin.
No, it's not going to be a dolphin. It's not going to be a zucchini. It's not going to be a, you know, killer whale. It's a human.
Honestly, you know what I would like to see? I want to see the campaign where they say, nobody wants to take away your abortion. We just want common sense abortion.
Oh my God.
common sense abortion controls.
That's right. God. Nobody
wants. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And I would love to hear any of the anti-gun arguments rewritten with the word gun replaced with abortion. And that's all you do.
Yeah.
And then watch the inevitable head like the Nazis in Indiana Jones when they go, oh, they're da, da, da. And then, you know, you just drop. Boom. This is what we did. This is how you sound to us.
Right.
I have a theory about this whole push for more, you know, late-term abortion thing. And it's dark and it's ugly and it's awful. I think it's because of the whole push for single payer healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have government paying for the healthcare, government doesn't want babies being born that are not going to be productive, contributing members of society.
So they won't allow Democrats to be born?
Well, you know, useless idiots are always the first up against the wall, right?
I mean,
useful
idiots. I'll explain AOC.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah. If Bernie and AOC.
Ultrasounds are getting better and better all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the funny part is you look at Roe versus Wade, and the standard is viability, which keeps pushed back. Which, when they say, oh, they're going to repeal Roe versus Wade, it's like, you know, you might actually win with a repeal of Roe versus Wade. Because at this point, you're looking at all, you know, first of all, third trimester is right out. Second trimester is starting to get a little iffy.
Yeah.
As far as when they can be performed, because medical technology has so far.
Yep, that's right.
If you go back to the actual ruling, you're not going to like what happens. If they started just enforcing Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, if somebody sued the state of New York over their new third trimester abortion thing and said, yeah, because it violates Roe versus Wade. And the Supreme Court took it and went, yep.
Boy, you know, you're right. Thank you for giving us a reason to re-examine it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I honestly think the left is playing chicken. I think that they're daring the right, because the right has been so good at being a completely batshit fucking stupid about abortion. They've been able to very successfully goad them into saying and proposing stupid things. And if you remember 2016, they were too busy. Yeah. They were too busy hating Orange Man. And now they're like, oh fuck. You know, 18, yes, they retook the House. Okay. So did pretty much every other opposition every other time.
Yep.
In fact, a much lesser margin than the GOP retook the House under Obama or in 94 under Clinton.
Yeah, the Democrat wave this election wasn't that much of a wave. It was more like a tepid ripple.
So we've got to push this. We've got to push them much harder to get the reaction. And I almost hate to say this, because first of all, they're the stupid party. Second of all, there's plenty of time for them to fuck it all up. They don't appear to be jumping at it this time. There's no Todd Akin coming forward, you know, to make a dumb statement. In fact, the stupid stuff has pretty much come from the left.
Oh, yeah. They're like competing with each other to be the most stupid.
You know, well, you know, I mean, once you get into the it has been born, where do you draw the line? Because if you want, I mean, you, first of all, the whole parasite thing annoys the living fuck out of me.
Yes.
Because, let's face it, there are 20-somethings that are fucking parasites.
Yeah, if you want to go by that, you know.
You know, if you want the defining factor to be whether this creature can survive on its own.
Well, oh, boy.
30? 40?
Do not get me started. I work it with... the public. Do not get
Rita,
me started.
You work with the public.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I believe you would need a belt fit.
Yeah.
But, you know,
some
you,
days, Jay.
once you advance to say it is acceptable to murder a born baby because, well, it can't survive on its own anyway, neither can a 1-year-old. I leave a 1-year-old in a room, three days, it's dead.
Yeah. Heck, some teenagers are like that.
2-year-olds. Most of them.
I'm telling you, Jay. Teenagers. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of teenagers you leave alone for 3 days, they'll be dead.
Teenagers are water. But, you know, there comes a point where you're like, okay, now you're, well, hold on. Well, you want to make it legal to kill 3-year-olds? But how do you draw that line? And it goes back. It's the perfect mirror to the side that wants to outlaw abortion, because there is no point at which that clump of cells isn't going to become human. You're going to stop it from becoming human, from developing into a human being. And that's hard to reconcile for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the farther out they push the limits, the more I think they run the risk of the backlash being really severe.
Well, they're already working on artificial wombs.
I mean, from the standpoint of you start coming out with, you know what, if you want to kill your 1-year-old, it's okay. We're going to decriminalize shaken baby syndrome. People are going to be like, what?
Keep in mind, this is all from the same party that is aghast because, children are getting separated from their parents at the border.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe they should just abort, call them late term abortions. They're 36th trimester abortions.
Yeah.
If they only showed half as much concern for newly born babies as they did for illegal immigrants, we might be in a better place. But instead, Trump is this horrible racist orange man because he's continuing policies that were already in place. But, you've got the governor, the Democratic governor, despite how CNN wants to label him, saying, if the baby's born and it's, the mom doesn't care, we can just let it go.
Well, you got to also remember, the left really tries to hide how abortion affects women and how abortion is really, at the core of it, kind of anti-feminist. Because what's the whole thing? Oh, you can't have a baby and go to school. You can't have a baby and have a career. Oh, right. No, you can't do that. That's impossible. How would you ever have a good life and a baby?
Yeah.
So that was the thing when I was in high school. It was that was kind of the idea. I knew a couple girls in high school that had abortions, and it was they were, girls that wanted to go to college and they wanted to have a future. And the story was, well, you can't have both, because how is that possible?
Wait a minute, I thought you could have it all.
Right. And there's the problem.
Speaking of having it all, we're hitting the wall here on our time. But there was another thing that affects women that happened this week. Federal judge in Texas ruled that the all-male military draft is unconstitutional.
Oh, boy. The draft is going to soon become, a thing of the past.
The Supreme Court upheld the draft registration process in 1981 in a case, and the reason they upheld it and ruled that the male-only draft was justified was because women were ineligible for combat roles.
Oh.
That is no longer the case. Because no longer now the women, case. Women can be in any combat role. The Pentagon has lifted all restrictions for women in military service. Therefore, the male-only military draft is unconstitutional. So, what happens now?
They're going to get rid of the draft.
Yeah, that's what my bet is.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. That will end. And it should have ended a long time ago. The whole thing was stupid. You can't, it was stupid back when they were doing it for the Vietnam War, but it's really stupid now because, you know, think about drafting an unwilling person in 2019 to be in the military. How successful is that going to be, really? Do you think they're going to go, oh, well, darn it, I'm drafted. I may as well make the best of it. Hell yeah. No. No way in hell that's going to happen. There's going to be screaming and wailing and lawsuits and paraded on TV. And I mean, it's just going to be a mess. you can't have a draft. You just can't. It's not going to happen. So they need to just stop it. So, you know. And here's the thing. If it's quote a legitimate war, you're not going to have a problem with getting people to sign up for it.
Sure.
People don't want to sign up for stupid bullshit where they go, why the fuck are we over there? Nobody wants to do that. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Hey.
Women drafted. Can you imagine trying to do a draft?
What are you saying, Alan?
Can you imagine the wailing and gnashing of teeth if they tried to draft women? Can you imagine? The people, oh my God.
I'm kind of making a face at you.
I'm just, you know, it's just, I'm just
uh-huh. Alan, step away from a death stare. I would urge you to choose your words carefully.
No, I'm just saying that they're probably plenty of women who would say, okay, I'm doing my duty.
And a lot of those women are already volunteer. And here's my point. In this day and age, in the early 21st century.
Yes.
People who are willing to serve in the military will serve in the military voluntarily.
Right.
People that won't serve in the military voluntarily will be useless, and they'll be more than useless. They'll be negatives. They'll be, you know, the traitors and the, you know, they'll be the what's his name? Chelsea Mannings and all that kind of bullshit. They'll be the Bury Bergdahl. Yeah. They'll be those people. They'll be like, you know, you get one of these leftist yahoos, you draft him, you put him, gain him a gun, putting him in a military uniform, and he'll go walking across the battlefield to the other side going, I'm being oppressed. I want to be a political refugee or whatever, you know. I mean,
you must have known guys in the Corps who did the bare minimum.
You know, your goal. Marines, not so much. I'm sure there's, you know, guys in the Army and Air Force and stuff like that. But
Don't ask that question, Jay.
Bare minimum's really not a thing in the Marine Corps. It's not.
That's yeah.
No, I'll put it this way: here's the thing. You know, there are minimum qualifications for, like, you know, for the PE test, right? For the test you have to take. And nobody does the minimum. Literally nobody.
Those people go in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Am I right, Alan?
Yeah, that's right. Those are the Air Force guys.
See. What do the Air Force say about the Marines?
Maybe the Navy, you know.
What do the Air Force say about the Marines?
I'm sure they have something to
say. You and I grew up.
Something about eating crayons or something. I don't know.
Well, if they didn't want it to be eaten, they wouldn't have made them so tasty. Come on.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so I want to tell everybody I'm not going to be on the show next week. My mother is having surgery. It is surgery that's freaking me out, but we're going to deal with it.
It's not life and death surgery. It's...
It is not, but it is freaky deaky.
It's an orthopedic surgery.
Yeah, it's she's getting a shoulder replacement for some reason. And I say this as like a bionic woman myself. It still kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, my is hip done about 5 years ago.
And yeah.
The recovery was way faster than he expected. And the thing that bothered him the most was he didn't do it 2 years prior.
Oh.
Because the improvement was so amazing.
I've heard that from a lot of people, Jay.
Yeah, I can only imagine that a shoulder where it's not bearing as much weight would be even better than a hip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the once the replacement's done, it's going to be like, wow. So,
thank you for your optimism.
I think it's going to be one of those things where she's going to be like, this is amazing. I wish I'd done this years ago.
Okay. Well, we will hope for that.
And if she could get like a carbon fiber exoskeleton, that would be
that would be rad.
It could be the mecha.
I'll talk to her surgeon about that. I'm not real sure, but
can we work maybe some adamantium? You know,
I don't know if her insurance will cover that.
Can I make we can only get titanium? Sorry, but at least it's light.
Oh boy!
In my case, it's aluminum foil.
Well, we wish Ellen well and hope she comes through.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll be fine. Sure she'll be fine. It's like, you know, she has the best doctor, and it's like a kind of a routine thing. But you know, I'm just freaked out anyway.
If he puts a giant metal needle through the doctor's eye, she's become a Terminator. So it happens in a small percentage of cases, but the possibility is there she could become a Terminator. I'm just saying.
Okay. I will be vigilant.
All right, everyone.
I'll take her out if need be.
We may or may not be back next week. We'll find out.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, all.